We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Let's go.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half of your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolic is not with us today because we are a week out from shooting Dinner with the Band. So we have... I'm eating. We have a good show today. A lot of good familiar faces. We have Telephone in studio, Sammy Bananas and Mackin on some pizza. Chewing. And we also have our good friend Michael Serino from Eraser, a Shiny Knife. Michael, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself?
Good. Have we had you on here before? I can't remember.
You have not.
We have not. We've tried to.
Yeah, we've been playing tag for a while now.
But you've been on Kathy's show and a number of other shows on here, right?
Yeah, I love the Radio Heritage Network.
So it's good to see you. It's good to see you back in good health.
Appreciate that.
I met Michael through one of our summer barbecues 2 years ago, which we do the cheap barbecue plates over at Hope Lounge. And then I went to many a pig roast out at your place. If you guys don't know, he has this awesome backyard and just off of Meeker, right?
Essentially? Yeah, it's kind of the Greenpoint Williamsburg area right over there.
And they did a full roasted pig. I think I've been to two of them.
We do it every year. Yeah. We've been trying to do them every springtime. But recently we do them in May and in October. So people can stay up all night. It's not too cold. Drink bourbon. And when it comes up the next morning, the sun rises, it's not too hot and unconscionable. We did it in like August a couple times in July, and by the middle of the afternoon on the second day, people were just like miserable. I mean, you're standing next to a fire with a 200-pound roasting pig for a while. You're just going to start to get really hot anyways. But you just add in a hot and humid day, and it just turns into a terrible, terrible time.
The my favorite part of that was the, you know, you can stuff the pig with, you know, nice goodness to get cooked inside, and Michael stuffed his pig with more spare ribs.
Yeah.
with more ribs. Like, it's not spares, but more ribs. So it's like pig stuffed with ribs, which is really what people just want.
Kind of. If you think about it, there's... At the end of the day, you're watching an animal just sit there cook, but really, you just want ribs and pulled pork. So,
yeah.
I mean, the chest cavity functions as a perfect little steaming area, so we just smoke a whole bunch of ribs, some garlic and onions, and then coat them with duck fat and squeeze them inside the chest cavity and sew it up.
I mean, absolutely nothing wrong with it. I remember kind of food comoing. You guys can pull the mics closer. You guys are listening. We got Maggie Horn here.
Oh, wait, we can talk to him?
Hi.
This is not just for eating pizza.
This is telephone. But yeah, but I remember just kind of coming to in the middle of Michael's, not coming to, but just sitting there just eating pork belly, just kind of in a daze, and just you get that weird kind of awesome, I don't know, I've been eating really good fatty stuff, and your body is a little upset with how, you know, how much bad stuff you're putting in it, but it's just, you can't stop.
Can't stop, yeah.
You can't stop. That's one of the many things, Michael, is one of the things I really like about you is you're always kind of doing a lot of creative events, and we've just talked about a number of different things. You know, you had a great event during the Wine and Food Festival, which was a all locally produced type of event.
Yeah, we kind of took a little spin on locally sourcing your ingredients. So instead of locally sourcing our food, we locally sourced everything except for the food. So we made we had local artists make the tables, the chairs, the plates, the glasses, the silverware, and all the food was actually imported. In kind of this way of saying that, like, you know, it's fantastic to support your local farm movement and your local farm-to-table movement in general, but if you have IKEA furniture and you're buying your plates from China, you kind of miss a huge wedge of what's going on here. I mean, there's a lot of brilliant artists and craftsmen that function, you know, in and around the New York area, or in and around most regional areas, that are just missing out on a lot of interaction with the local consumers because, you know, people think that they're crafts or they don't know how to actually speak to somebody who makes silverware. You know, like, how do you find a local silverware maker? I mean, it's not easy, but those people make really brilliant stuff, and if you can interact with them, it's
really who is your go-to Brooklyn silverware provider?
Actually, I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration. There is no there is no go-to Brooklyn silverware producer. There's a guy
metallurgists out there, yeah. Take note. Yeah. There is a gaping hole to be filled.
Market.
I mean, if you happen to have a couple thousand square feet and $1 million or two to invest in the equipment necessary. But I mean, there's some people in Pennsylvania that are fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of great people who design stuff and then have it produced outside of the New York area. So we kind of had to be a little bit flexible with that whole thing because cities prevent you from making things that are really smelly and terrible, like, you know, silverware production or, you know, firing 100,000 glasses is not very easy to do. I mean, you have to do that in Corning, which is, I guess, a little bit more acceptable to making things smell terrible.
But you're supporting people that live in the area. They might just, but they're not like outsourcing it to China. They're like, or outsourcing it to upstate, which does, what I think is like the 100 miles is like the loose cutoff for, you know, the locavore movement.
I mean, we didn't really set any specific boundaries for that meal. I mean, our whole goal was just to try to get people to think about it in a different way and to try to think about that idea of, you know, it's fantastic to focus on this one aspect of it, but if you can focus a little bit wider, you know, open your eyes a little bit bigger to what you interact with, you know, even other types of art, you know, like whether it be music or whether it be paintings or photography and stuff like that, you know, if you're not... You know, just don't buy Ann Getty photos with little babies that look like flowers and shit like that. You can probably find something that's a little bit more creative down at your local flea market or something, you know?
Right. So you have a couple really good things coming up that we're going to talk about. The first one I want to address is your quarantine meal, which, if you want to give your elevator speech for what the quarantine meal is.
Well, we're working with some people who are going to be doing I guess it's kind of like a series of pieces at the Storefront for Art and Architecture. And the basic theme for the event is how quarantine affects the creation of art. So for them, I can't really speak to their pieces, so to speak. But what we're going to do is we're going to try to take this idea of quarantine and create a interactive event out of the whole thing. So whether it be it's not going to just be the food. It's going to be kind of like a food and interaction with the service and the decor. So that as you sit there, you go through both what it feels like to be quarantined, the whole idea of being separated from your food, your individuals, the livelihood, the society that you're in. And then we're going to kind of do it in multiple different levels. Like, we're going to do it on a culinary level. Like, the food itself is going to have layers of separation. We've been working with a bunch of different non-perishable, non-edible items to separate food inside food. So if you'll be eating something, you'll get to a layer of wax or a layer of bone or something that you obviously, you know, that is specifically put there for you to realize that what's inside that is now separate from what's outside. That kind of concept. I mean, like the specifics were really kind of awkward to explain in words, but when you see it executed, it should be a good time.
And is there a date on this thing?
The art exhibit itself opens up in March. I believe it opens up on the 9th, but I don't have the specific date in front of me. It runs through the 17th. So it goes from a Tuesday in March until that Saturday. And we're going to be doing dinners, I believe, every Sunday there. Our goal right now is we're in the detail stage at the moment of locking down chefs that we're going to be partnering with for every single meal. And the idea there is that, you know, we have a... You know, a Razor Shiny Knife is a collective. It's a creative group. And what we try to do is use food as a medium for inspiring other art forms. So, and kind of like social interaction. So in this regard, you know, we're working with the painters, the photographers, all the artists in that space. But we also wanted to bring other chefs in. Sunday happens to be the day most chefs are off. So we're trying to get them involved in the food creation process and try to think a little bit outside of their general box. You know, if you normally make pasta...
What was that?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know. Actually, that's a good time. We're going to actually go play a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your Black Dinner.
Okay.
And South by Southwest. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget. Part of Finger on the Pulse. We have Telephone in studio performing live.
Hey, hey.
And big shout out to Jack Inslee and RecTech for making us sound good, and to Roberta's for feeding us, and to Meatball, which is that dog out there that would pounce on you. Coming up, we have Lo-Fi Funk's brand new track, which just came out today. I love these guys. I haven't heard anything from them in a while. So this is called Marching In. right, that was just Lo-Fi Funk with their new track Marching In. I really, really like those guys. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
Fantastic?
Great.
Oh, I have the wrong headphones on. That's why I can't hear anybody. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. We are, Terry Diabolic is out today. Big shout out to our sponsor, Whole Food Markets. I love them.
Who can't?
They're really good and right by Union Square, right next to the Green Market. So
and soon in Gowanus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, perfect.
I guess not too soon.
That's amazing. I've heard soon in Gowanus for 4 years.
Yeah.
But hey, it will happen.
Yeah, eventually, if you keep saying it.
So you said you had you have all the info for that quarantine event?
Yeah, if anybody would like any more information on the Landscapes of Quarantine exhibit that's going to be at the storefront for art and architecture, you can go to Building Blog, which is, you know, building abbreviated blog there, or ediblegeography.com. Either way, you can find the information there. You can go to the storefront for art and architecture, which is in Soho, and get the information from them directly. It's going to be free and open to the public during the days. And then to get information about any of our events, you can go to our website, which is erasershinyknife.com.
Fantastic. I can't wait. I'm sure I'll be at a couple of those.
You should.
So the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about, which I find very interesting, and we had talked about this before, was your black dinner. And if you just want to give the concept of that as well.
So for a while now, I've been obsessed with black color food. It started off when I started getting involved in more modern cooking about 2 years ago. I started trying to figure out how I could progress towards a type of cooking that would eliminate like a visual key to what you were eating. You know, most of the time when we look at food before we put it in our mouths, we start to give it value. You know, we see a piece of fried chicken, we look how glistening the skin is, how crispy it is, the salt on the French fries, the glistening of the dressing on the lettuce, all that stuff starts cueing our minds into what it's going to taste like when it hits our mouth and our palate. And black colored foods kind of eliminate a lot of that. There's not very much in nature that is naturally black, aside from like squid ink and soy sauce and things of that nature. But what we try to do with these meals is, the idea was to create a breadth of food. You know, these meals are all multi-course meals, you know, between 6 and 12 courses of predominantly black colored food. And the idea here is to prevent you from really giving it any kind of concept before you take your first bite. Our first meal was in London with a couple partners, a group called Bompas and Parr and a woman named Fiona Leahy. Bompas and Parr are two guys that make phenomenal jello molds. They're world renowned for their jello molds. And what we did there is the event in London and each subsequent event is not only just going to be a service of black colored food, but we try to tie into this concept of black banquets in the past, which had a real morbid and kind of like dark feeling to it. And in each city we go to, we try to tie into that darkness of the city. So in London, we hosted the event at a Victorian shelter for battered women that had just been renovated and hadn't been open to the public. So the cocktail reception was held in a chapel next to the building. Funeral dirges were played. A woman was singing. We did some Chopin nocturnes. After the cocktails, which were all traditional London funeral drinks, we were brought up into the grand area where the room was decorated in a Victorian fashion, except devoid of color. And then we went and served out, you know, 8 courses of food that was completely black.
I find it really weird. I know that you spoke to this, but, you know, I always hear that, like, you know, you eat with your eyes first. So how have you, it's almost like there's restaurants where it's like pitch black restaurants as well that have done this. Have you found people's reactions to be, you know, they're even more taken back by the flavors, or it's a totally different dining experience, or how have people reacted to the all blackness? And what is an example, like what an all black dish would be like? What could I expect?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that it does for the diners is, or for us, is it allows us to create food that's more sculptural necessarily than something that you'd anticipate. So, you know, if you want to make pasta is fantastic, but you know, you kind of can see it, can imagine what it looks like. But by creating things that are so stark in their color setup, you can just make sculpture and then make that sculpture then taste good after the fact. And what people have been able to appreciate at the first meal and at our test dinners was that kind of separation, where since they weren't perceiving it as pasta immediately or as a fish or a steak, they were able to look at it as a piece of art and then devour the art and then decide on the flavoring as it went on. So one of the dishes we served in London was a fish pate. And since we worked with the guys, the Jellymongers, what we did was we used their ability to make these phenomenal jello molds, and we made what's called an emerald cut shape. So if you got like an emerald cut diamond, it would be faceted around the sides and flat on top. We made a John Dory pate, which is a type of white fish that can be served raw. We served it with a little wasabi, and then we wrapped the pate in a soy sauce gel. And when it came out of the mold, it looked like a black piece of onyx. And when placed on the plate, it just looked like a stone. It was garnished with a couple bit of herbs and things of that nature. But essentially what it was sashimi. It had the spice from the wasabi, had the soy flavoring for the salt, and you had this beautiful raw fish pate. But when you were looking at it, it just looked like a piece of stone.
Amazing. So this is going to be in New York, Chicago, L.A.
We're starting in L.A., okay. I believe. It's going to go L.A., San Francisco, Miami, Dallas, Chicago, and then New York. And New York is probably going to end it up in October-ish. Okay. Then we're in the process right now of trying to settle in. London was the first dinner because the collaboration was really between Fiona Leahy, the Jellymongers, and I. And we're since trying to move on and trying to figure out how that's going to function in a global sense. But aside from the States, we're going to be doing dinners. We're in the works for Florence, Barcelona, Paris, Nairobi, Kyoto, Hong Kong, and maybe Dubai, just because it just seems like a place where people could spend lots of money for no reason, right?
So if I didn't think if I didn't see you this summer, I'm really not going to see you over the next...
You mean... We all have goals in life. Yeah. You know, some people want to become rock stars. I can play the guitar, but I can't play it well enough to take me on tour for the world. I mean, I'm hoping at some point in this life I can just travel around the world and cook food and meet some interesting people. And this is going to be one of my attempts to do that. So
sweet. And speaking of rock, you're going to be at South by Southwest, right?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out a great way of interacting with the interactive portion of South by Southwest. We originally talked with you and your brother about doing something around the music side, and the music side. You know, from years past when I used to manage bands and play music and stuff, it was just such a fuck show. You know what I mean?
You just want to eat like a street taco and get back to the music.
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't want to take like 3.5 hours. I mean, obviously I love food and I will take 3.5 hours. But when I'm there, I was like, is that a gyro that I can put in? And if anything has more than 5 people in line, you're just like to the next spot just so you can just go keep moving.
Because there's 19 shows that are happening all at 2 o'clock that you need to try to see all of them. I mean, so it's
no need. You have to.
You have to see it. Yeah. God forbid you miss the new Foles track that they're going to play or something.
Exactly.
Like. So we kind of walked away from the idea of doing it during the music area, and we've gotten a lot of response for doing it during interactive. So we've been talking with Kathy Airway from Not Eating Out in New York about putting together a series of dinners there. One's going to be open to the public, and we're trying to get one that's just going to be focused on food bloggers because there's a sense of community right now that's pretty fantastic in the food blogging world that we'd like to try to foster if everybody's going to be down there and get people, you know, all in the same room kind of chatting and cooking food together. I mean, that's a big thing for what we do, is to try to get our guests to cook and not just come and eat. I mean, you can just sit down and eat at a restaurant, but, you know, when you come to one of these underground kind of dining events, you know, a little bit more of an interaction, something you can't actually participate with at a restaurant. We do that either through the theater or through these social and educational interactions ahead of time, and hopefully we can execute that well in Austin and not serve barbecue, which is my other major goal.
Fantastic. Well, Michael, I want to thank you for coming on. Hopefully you'll stick around for a little bit.
It was a pleasure.
And all information can be found on your website, razorshinyknife.com.
Razorshinyknife.com. Or if you want to find out about the landscapes of quarantine, just go to ediblegeography.com.
Fantastic. So I'm going to drop a set, play a couple tunes, and then Telephone is going to talk about record releases, the show we played together this past weekend, upcoming projects, playing house parties, and then perform live in a little bit. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. Big shout out to Roberto. How was that fried chicken, by the way?
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've ever had fried chicken that good. That was amazing.
I've been waiting to have this fried chicken for a number of months. And it is as good as the hype.
Well, there you have it. And big shout out to Whole Food Markets for being our sponsor today. Here we go. Let's feel. All right. It's always a little jumpy when there's only one of us here. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolik is out today. Big shout out to the Dinner with the Band crew who is working hard at the Loft. We shoot in a week. I wish I could be there with you guys. That was just Calvin Harris, Flashback Airpids remix. Sorry for the poor mixing today. My Serato. Has your software ever bug out where it just like gets jumpy when you load?
Sometimes.
And today would be the day, which is great when I only have to play three songs and that's gone. So in studio today, we have Telephone, Mr. Sammy Bananas.
Hello.
And bring.
Bring.
Bring, bring. Tell a friend.
I wish we had their sample queued up.
Yeah, it's true. Like if I had plugged my computer in right now and I had an arm that was 7 feet long, I could reach over and what you would hear is like, it's Telephone.
We need stretch in here. That's what I'm trying to say. But you can play it. They're gonna play live in about 7 minutes. But I want to say congratulations. It's been a good last couple of weeks for you
guys.
Thank you.
We played together on Saturday night at the Cubic Zirconia show.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And you guys had a massive monster release party at Ella. Big shout out to Nikki Digital and those kids.
Absolutely. That was such a blast.
Yeah, we sort of teamed up with Nikki to bring Telephoned to that party. And I think that it exceeded all of our expectations. It kind of was like the first fully realized version of us performing live. Because I think it kind of had, you know, a smaller like party atmosphere already. So when we did our live performance, people just went nuts.
That's awesome. So how did you two decide? I mean, Maggie, you've done vocals before. Mm-hmm. Sammy, you've obviously been DJing forever in New York. So how did you two be like, hey, we should do, you know, a cover DJ mashup concept?
Well, I think, well, the actual story is that I was, we kind of just were talking one night. I think I was DJing at Roxy's party at Sway on a Monday, and we just started joking about doing a cover of Can't Believe It, the T-Pain song. So this, I guess, was about like last fall.
I guess, was it last fall?
I think it was last fall. Time flies. Amazingly enough. But yeah, so it started out just sort of like us kind of being like, oh yeah, let's do a cover of this song, ha ha ha. But then I went home and I made this track, and then and Maggie to sing on it, and kind of that's really where the project came from, and it's sort of something that isn't, even though it started from this kind of like crazy idea, it's become something that I think is kind of serious.
Right. makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. You know, all things kind of started like, we should do this.
Right, exactly.
Awesome.
I mean, right.
Yeah, and then you kind of like, we should really just do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
And I think that's probably actually, you know, there's no pressure when you start that way. It's
right.
Not like you're trying to reach some sort of expectation. You're just having fun and like making something. So I think that the result is this kind of concept where we take current pop, hip hop, R&B songs and just sort of take the catchiest elements of them and reinterpret the whole thing into, you know, whether it's like some sort of underground dance sort of format or kind of, you know, a different genre. We're just sort of like transmutating things and flipping them in a way that's kind of like, I don't want to say post mashup, but right. It is.
But somebody said, is this a post hip hop? Somebody called it post hip hop, and I thought that was interesting.
And
too.
That's post. We're very post.
Very post.
I'm putting quoties up right now.
Yeah, you can't see them. But I mean, I feel like all movements that started, I mean, especially if you read about anything, where it all just kind of started off as just like a non-serious that turned serious. And also, I don't want to say anything, but it's fun, which is, you know,
yeah.
Which it, I don't feel factors into things a lot of the times, especially in New York, where it's like very serious, very focused, very driven. Like, this is my remix, even though I'm making disco or like
yeah.
like bass music that's like makes kids, it's very serious, and your stuff is just really fun.
I think it's really also an element of we get to play with different types of music that we love, including the like dance aspect of it. Like, we do get to pull from, you know, hip hop and pop and like mainstream R&B, which we both have like a very strong love for. So it comes from a place of like, we love that fun music as well, and then we can bring the dance and our own element into it, which I think is pretty lucky to be able to get to use like all of those different sort of influences into what we do.
Gotcha. And then, so you guys got put out by Fool's Gold.
Right.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. Shout out to 8-Track and Catch Tubbs, who are also having a banner years. I guess they're just solidified now. There's no... I guess there's no like, oh, they had a really nice 2009 and they 8 and 10.
They didn't win a Grammy last night, but they were nominated for it.
Which were they nominated for?
Well, I mean, they weren't, but Day and Night was up for, I think, Best Rap Single. So even though now that's, you know, in the mind of the populace, that's on Universal, that kind of started with Fool's Gold. So it's really cool for them.
And I always credit, like, well, I remember when I got that, I was like, huh, there's 5 remixes on here for 5 different genres. And I like the Joker's one the best personally, but I guess
I know that one is good. Like, it's kind of it you can't really have any other remix than the one that became the smash,
right?
Like, in terms of, but that is.
I remember when I came home. I was like on the road. And I came home in February, and my like car, my from the train station, my taxi driver was singing Day. And I was like, this is a hit. Like, if my taxi driver is like humming, like not just humming, like singing King Cudi along the radio, I was like, this is legitimately a hit. So how did you guys get hooked up with them?
Well, I mean, I think it's mostly from kind of me putting out records with them. And I think that, you know, I'm obviously in touch with them about stuff that I'm doing. So when I showed Nick and 8-Track kind of this stuff, they were really into it. Because I think that it matches very well with what they're trying to do as a label, you know, as insofar as the interface between like a pop music style or with, you know, hip hop and also with dance music. I think that it embodies that, and it's, you know, I think that made it something they wanted to get involved with.
Awesome. So why don't we have you plug in?
Okay, I will jump over there.
And we'll have you there. You're going to perform and then play a DJ set, and it'll be awesome.
Have some fun.
Are you guys going down South by Southwest?
Yes, sir.
What, do you guys have anything planned yet, or?
We're doing that. That's what, on Friday?
Yeah, the Fool's Gold party's on Friday.
I'm doing a party on Thursday with Last Rites, with like Vin Soul and Cosmo Baker. That's all I know of so far on the agenda.
Okay.
Plan on running around.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
We're hanging out.
You know.
I think the party, we're playing a party with No Age and Fan Death and Japan Droids, which is exciting. I feel like that's the only week that I really, that and Seamed are the only weeks I really go back to my rock and roll roots.
Yeah.
For like 2 weeks out of the year, but like I really go back to it, so rock I feel
it's rock the best time and place to do it, you know, everything is there. And
we're looking for power cord is right there.
Oh, no, no, I'm just hanging out.
You're hanging? All right, so
we'll plug super quick, like, well, I guess we'll just kind of explain what we're about to do. So we have this mixtape that we did to promote the release of the Fool's Gold EP. And the mixtape is up for free on record label, and you can download it. And basically it's just like us doing cover songs over other people's songs. So it's like...
in addition to the 5 songs that we did on the EP with Sammy's original production work. And a Use Somebody which with his original production work.
Okay. Great.
So we're going to do like a few of the mixtape songs, and I'll play one of our songs from the EP, and yeah, go grab that at your favorite digital retailer.
Yeah, whichever. So you listen to Snacky Tunes. Telephone is up live. Big shout out to Whole Food Markets, Jack Tech, and Rec Inslee. Jack Inslee and Rec Tech. For 27 shows, I'll never get it right. And big shout out to Dinner with Band Crew at the Rising Tide Live. Here we go with Telephone.
Telephoned, tell a friend, 2010, Off the Hook mixtape. One day, baby,
I can't reach. You know that I could use somebody. You know that I could use somebody. Someone like you and all you know and how you speak. Countless lovers under cover of the street. You know that I could use somebody. You know that I could use somebody. Someone like you. Oh, eh, oh. Oh, oh, eh, oh. Oh, eh, oh. Oh, eh, oh. Oh, eh, oh.
without you, that could be an understatement. Now I think that I have paid the cost to let all they go by, and I'm calling you 'cause I'm so busy, so busy thinking about kissing you. Now I wanna do that without entertaining another phone.
Easy. South rockers.
South rockers.
This is telephone.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, but she has only whispers of some quiet conversation. In 12:30 flight, the moonlit rings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melody. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting."
Right, telephone live in studio with a DJ set from Sammy Bananas as well. That was great.
Thanks. It's always Sammy Bananas.
It's always a little tricky in studio.
Yeah, that was I had to be dexterous.
Yes, it's a good word. But you know, it's always nice. We've got some. It was good. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Great. Yeah.
And it will be podcast and live in our archives, and it'll be great.
Perfect.
Excellent. So
some oddball covers in there.
Yeah, name some of those more the more obscure covers.
Well, we had a Japanese language version of Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
We had No Diggity.
I wasn't.
Oh yeah, I played this awesome Jens Lechman cover of Arthur Russell's "A Little Lost."
Yeah, I liked that.
Like, That's awesome.
We're going all over the place here.
All covers.
It's great. I mean, is that what do you normally spin out?
I mean, normally I personally play kind of a disco funky house of bouncy music.
Funky, super funky, even.
People call me pretty funky.
I think that's probably the one word that I've heard used to describe Sammy Bananas and his music has been funky across the board. So.
That's A-Track certainly likes to call it that. That's how he defines it. Yeah,
well, I guess that's a pretty good reference point.
So I'm not trying to play like if you book me to come to play at your club, I'm not going to try to play some Japanese cover
party
version.
Disclaimer, it's not going to be a 12-minute version of Japanese Part of Your World.
But Telephone, on the other hand, is about cover songs rethought. So that's all about.
I really, and we talked about this on Saturday, I really want to see you at like a 2 a.m. house party.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Yes.
I would be very into that.
Or like a rooftop party.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
This summer. As soon as it gets warm. I think that's the best. So we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank Telephone for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Michael Serino.
And Delicious.
For coming in.
Thank you for having me as well.
And I want to thank Roberta's for the delicious food. Whole Food Markets for being our sponsor. Jack Inslee and Rec Tech. And to the Dinner with the Band crew who's at the loft who is working hard so we can come and do this. We will be off the air, or I guess it'll be repeats the next 2 weeks. As we will be shooting the show, and then we will be back on the 22nd with a bunch of great guests, and on and on and on and on and on and on. So this has been Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolik is out today, and Sam, what do you got queued up last?
We're going to have another one of our songs, a Telephone song from the new Fool's Gold EP. It's a cover of DJ Webstar's Dancing On Me. Our version features up-and-coming dancehall star Jadon Blackamore, who is truly amazing.
Really amazing. He gave us like the best shout out we could ever ask for on this song.
Fantastic. All right. We will see you all in a few weeks, and thanks for tuning in.
Fool's
Gold. Hey, yo!
Tell a friend.
This is Telephone. Bring Jadon Blackamore live on direct. Hold tight, Sammy Bananas. Hold tight, Maggie Horn. Hey, yo, get ready. All of the ladies. Shawty no let me leave when I move, she move, she no let me breathe. Shawty no let me leave when I move, she move, she no let me breathe. Shawty no let me leave when I move, she move, she no let me breathe. Shawty no let me leave. Hey yo!
Dancing on me, she dancing on me. Dancing on me, she dancing on me. Dancing on me, she dancing on me. I don't know about you, but she dancing on me. Dancing on me, she dancing on me. I don't know about you, but she dancing on me. Dancing on me, she dancing on me. Dancing on me. Dancing on me.
she mushing all let me breathe. Shot in all every leak. When I move, she mushing all let me breathe. Shot in all let me leave. Mushing all let me breathe. Shot in all let me leave. When I move, she mushing all let me breathe. Shot in all let me leave. When I move, she mushing all let me breathe. Shot in all let me leave. When I move, she mushing all let me breathe. Shot in all let me leave. Mushing all let me breathe. Yeah, come love where you go on, you know, baby. When you roll it like that, you drop it like that, like it's hot. You don't know, make it touch the spot and come back up to the top. This is Jordan Black, come on, Sammy Bananas. Hold tight, Maggie Horn. It's Telephone. And we are coming to you live and direct on the dance floor. Shake it, baby, pop it and drop it.